Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Now, I know this is something that is fairly close to you right now. This is the question, really, of when do you make that decision?
Yeah, it is. It's that decision.
That decision, that's because one. You don't have to do it with humans. Well, you can't do it with humans.
Not yet.
But with dogs and other animals, there is sometimes a decision to be made that is certainly not a pleasant one, and certainly sometimes can be very, very heartbreaking. When do you make that decision, or how do you make that decision?
I think it's probably the most difficult thing you can ever do, and that's speaking as a dog lover. I mean, there's other people, you know, in life you have to make difficult decisions, but with your in your dog life, I would say it's the most difficult decision, because it's the most passionate decision and compassionate decision you can ever make, and it is getting it right. It depends whether you've got a young dog that's sort of mortally wounded or got some ghastly disease where it's not going to survive, and you've got to make that decision. If you've got an older dog that you've had for many, many years and you just love the bones of them, it is so difficult, because, you know, we really want them to last forever, and I think they should last forever. And I think we need to ring Rishi Sunak after this programme and tell him that they need to put that to the board. But
I don't think that's going to happen somehow.
It's not. No, that we'll put that on the top of climate change, just above that. So anyway, it is the most difficult decision. And vets is interesting, but a lot of vets won't or can't advise. And I understand why, because they can just say, well, you know, when you think the time is right. I don't know. I mean, our vets at the moment don't generally say, I think you should do it now, because we had to make this awful decision very recently with our best girl. They're all best girls, but
they are, aren't they?
And it is, you know, it's almost slightly bit of black humour there, because we all went, four of us went traipsing off to the vet, and we all walked in, and we had we couldn't get a vet come out to us on that particular day, because I would recommend, if you can, get the vet to come to your house. Some vets don't do that anymore. I appreciate it does take a lot of time out of their day. It's a difficult thing for a vet to do anyway. So I appreciate, you know, it doesn't always, but ideally if you can, and we have over the years had them come to us, but on this particular day we couldn't, so we had to go to the vet. So it was very cheery. We all got in the car, and my lovely dog was quite fit getting into the car. You know, she wasn't that unwell in that respect, but she did have awful cancer that you could see was taking its hold. And you know, with cancer it can get very, very bad very quickly, and you don't want your dog to suffer, and you know that they're beginning to suffer. It's knowing really the signs of pain.
It is knowing your dog, isn't it?
It's knowing your dog. So we all went trotting off to the vet thinking it was a trip out, and all, I mean, you feel awful. It's a dreadful, dreadful thing, because you literally feel like you're murdering your animal. And we all walked in and we chatted to our vet, and I looked at my lovely dog and I just thought, I can't do it. I literally can't do it. And I know it wasn't, you know, I don't think it was, everybody was particularly happy with me suddenly saying, it's no good, we're going home. So we picked up our, you know, we took a lovely bed for her to lie on. So we picked that up and got all the dogs with their leads and collars back on and went trotting out. All five of us went back, or six of us went back out the vets that day. And I believe that was the right decision. However, then the next couple of days she deteriorated, and again we couldn't get a vet come out. So, but she did have a lovely walk the night before, and we did see the cancer had then sort of spread. And there's something in you that thinks, yes, I think this is the right time. However, you know, you can ring round in the morning. You might think it's the right time. Your dog might think it's the right time. But then, can you get an appointment? And I was at my wit's end, because I rang one of our vets, and they didn't have. They were two people down, and they couldn't help. And they said, well, you can book one for tomorrow or the next day. And you think, well, I can't wait that long. You know when you know you've got to do it.
Yeah.
And it feels very cutthroat to sort of book it in advance. It really does.
Well, there are emergency vets that you can ring. I mean, they are very expensive, but that does solve that problem. I had to do this myself 3 or 4 years ago with our old lab Dexter, and he'd been very, very unwell. And you knew it was his time. He stood up and he just looked at you as if to say, stop this. you know, it's a case of know your animal. And what else could we do? It was just after Christmas, the vets closed, and you have to contact an emergency vet. Nothing about it was pleasant. The only thing is you can walk out of there knowing your dog is at peace.
Yes,
that's the only solace you can take from it. But it is not cheap. And, your vet's not going to say, are they? They're going to say, well, go away and think about it.
No, they, I mean, our vet was very sweet and said, well, you know, we've had other people where we would encourage them more in that direction. But in our case, so that's another reason why we did leave it a few more days. And in a way, I think it was right. It was right on the day. But going back to what you were saying about the expense, I then sort of, because we couldn't get an appointment for a vet to come out, I rang these where they come to you, and that's all they do, these particular companies, that's all they just do, euthanasia.
I didn't realize that.
I'm sure there is one, or maybe that's just what we were talking about on the day. And they quoted me a price, and it was sort of £450, maybe £500. And I did gulp, I have to say, because it is that thing that, apart from you get nothing for your money, I think it's people are unaware of the expense of dogs. I mean, dogs at the moment are costing a lot, not just to buy, but to actually keep, and to keep in good order. Vet bills, they're all going up and up. But that last consultation, when it's just doom and gloom for everything, and then when you realise it could be £500, I mean, yours, I think, was more even that.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm just shocked, and I just think, how is it?
The sad thing is, there's no competition to this, and it's not really something you want to see competition. But I would like to see some ethics put into this, because it just seems to me that those who have to do this stuff know that it's something that has to be done. There is no competition to it, so therefore they can pretty much charge what they want, and make a very nice living out of it. I'm not suggesting that that every vet is like that, but the cost of running a dog or looking after a dog these days, never mind the death of a dog, is just extortionate. There are many stories that can be told about it, and not quite where we're going to go with this one today.
But I think also what happens, and I've seen this when we were rescue, that people would be giving up to rescue their elderly dogs, probably because they couldn't, and I know that for a fact, because they literally couldn't afford to keep them on the medicines they were on, or even they couldn't afford to pay to have them put to sleep.
Yeah.
It is shocking, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's not a nice thing. If anybody's actually listening and thinking, got to make that decision, my heart goes out to you for having to make that decision. But all I can say is you will know when the time is right.
Yes, you will. And you're close to your dog. And yeah, you do know there's something that tells you. And do it with a cheeriness. What I would say personally, don't start hugging and sobbing all over your dog, because they don't want that. They want, I have to laugh. My lovely dog sort of left this world with half a gravy bone in her mouth, which I think was quite funny, because we never gave her gravy bones, but she used to lust after them.
Oh, bless her heart.
So it's quite lovely. But the knock-on effect then is you've got the rest of the family, your dog family, then go into a complete decline. So that's another thing.
Yeah, well, they look around and go, oh, we're one missing here, aren't we?
Yeah, and you take, you know, if you've got more than one dog, do make sure that your dogs are present.
Yeah.
Because they will be forever searching otherwise. But even if they are present and, you know, they witness their best friend slipping away, they suffer grief, because they're with each other 24 hours a day. You know, they chat away at 1 a.m. when we're meant to be fast asleep. They're probably playing Scrabble and such, but who knows?
Doing all sorts of things. This is, of course, talking about the dogs that are very much loved. I've got to change the subject slightly to something that, of course, has been in the press quite recently, which is dangerous dogs. Yeah. And more importantly, pit bulls, I have to mention. Now, when you see any program in America that to do with the justice system that involves court cases and dogs, invariably the dogs involved are always pit bulls, and their ears have been mutilated by cutting them back, their tails have been docked, and they've basically been trained to be sort of fairly angry dogs, which is, of course, not what anybody wants as a pet. But it would seem that it's been one of those things that's been imported here. So you do have these pit bulls who really aren't fit to be kept in the same space as humans, children, or any other animals for that matter. But they were born dogs and quite innocent, really. And as far as I can see, it's a problem that is not the dog's fault.
No, and, you know, it's a dog that's been mixed breed, the XL Bully. Mm. It's been mixed breed. It's not recognised by the Kennel Club. Some of them can weigh up to 60 kilos, so that coming at you at high speed
isn't, yeah, you're going to duck,
gonna
aren't
be
you?
Great. And I just think it's just the next thing that we're going to do. I don't know what's wrong with us. We're left to their own devices to be a nice dog and a nice pet. If you bred them with good genes, they would be a lovely dog. But they always end up in the wrong hands. They end up as a weapon, or it's the drugs and the gangs that end up. You know, they have the dogs possibly instead of the knives and the guns.
It used to be the pit bull. It used to be the Rottweiler, didn't it? Rottweiler got some bad publicity, but Rotties, brought into a loving home with other sort of well-mannered dogs, is going to end up as absolutely fine. And that. So, I mean, is the answer actually to ban the pit bull?
Well, not necessarily. I would think the answer really is to give people the knowledge of training and understanding what dogs need. If you're gonna have a dog and sort of brutalize it, I suppose it doesn't. I don't know why they have to mess about with its ears and such. It
makes them look fierce.
Of course it does. And then their ears are meant to be. Their ears are deliberately a certain shape and size to keep. You know, they have a flap over the top to keep all the bugs and things out. They don't want to be open to all the elements, but you know, they're cut right back down. The pain involved in that as well.
Yeah.
I know a lot of it is if they're fighting that they don't get there's less of an ear to get hold of, but they shouldn't be fighting in the first place. And it's the owners. We have become very odd as humans, and I'm so worried. I mean, the rescue centres are absolutely flooded. I know a couple of rescue people, and they said they're, you know, potentially they're lovely dogs, but they're being flooded by them because also they're not. They grow very big very quickly, depending on how XL your bully is. It's on XXXX. Mm. I mean, they're almost labelling like you would a sweatshirt, aren't they?
They are.
But potentially they could be a nice dog, but they need training. They need proper handling early on.
Yeah.
But having said that, they're a big, powerful dog, and any big, powerful dog can do any amount of damage to human and other animal.
Yeah.
All dogs can do it.
Yeah. Well, so I have two dogs, as you well know. I've got an aging Labrador who, her only challenge in life is where's my next meal coming from? She loves her food. And then I have a miniaturised boxer who's been crossed with a whippet for some reason, came out of some Welsh breeders in Wales, who is actually terrified of his own skin. And really wouldn't hurt a fly. Now, there are lots of people that have similar sorts of dogs who similarly wouldn't hurt a fly and, you know, are fantastic companions. The problem we've got here is there is no control over who can have a dog, or what sort of dogs should be prescribed for certain things. You know, it's like there are recommendations made about sheepdogs. Now, everybody knows that a good sheepdog is, in a domestic situation, is going to be not overly practical, but stick them on a farm or stick them somewhere where they've got place to run, and they're going to be fine. And it's the same with these pit bulls, really. I mean, is it not time we actually started looking at some sort of control over how we have dogs, who's allowed to have dogs, or get some qualifications to allow you to have dogs?
I think it's just I can't ever see any of those. Ever any of those things happening. I think the other thing is that because of in the news headlines we've had some of those horrific accidents and recently, I mean, could you even call them accidents, because the people know they've got a dog that's dangerous, so in a way it's not an accident. But I mean the government are really paying lip service to the country when we're all up in arms saying you need to do this, you need to do that. I can't see it happening. I think maybe have an encouraging atmosphere where you just encourage people to go training, maybe make dog training mandatory. But then again, that would be difficult to enforce, or once it becomes governmental, it
becomes very expensive.
It becomes expensive, but also it's a bit like your vets, you know, it's a friend, it becomes... The vets aren't don't become independent vets anymore. They all fall under this the franchise of the. And I think if the government got involved with the dog training, that's what would happen. And all the good independent dog trainers would probably be out of business, she said.
Yeah, we can't be having that. So I'm guessing from your point of view, the best solution here is to actually remove the breed from the country. In other words, ban the pit bulls.
I think that's the only way forward, is to know what's coming into our country. I mean, I met one locally. It was a lovely little puppy, but I was shocked and horrified that it had had its ears snipped. And
which is illegal in this country.
Exactly. So and I said, oh, where's your lovely dog come from? And they said, oh, you know, it's coming from America. So they bought it in. And you think, apart from the money that's changing hands, is unbelievable. We've actually had people at class wanted to come to class. I think last year they had a little XL bully puppy. Sweetest little thing you ever did see. I was quite looking forward to it coming to class. But obviously now, if anybody rang up, we wouldn't be able to. It didn't in the end, because I think it came into season and then we finished our course. But I wouldn't be able to take one on now. Because I just wouldn't, which is such a shame. And then that's your other problem. All the ones in the country, people don't want to touch with a barge pole. So what happens to them? Do they just all end up in the rescue centres?
Yeah, to the ordinary average dog-loving dog owner, it's all a bit of a mystery, and it's all a little bit sad. And I think we're going to watch this space. Wendy, we've run out of time, I'm afraid. Ooh. We wanted to talk about, I know we were going to talk about worming, fleeing and spaying, but I think we can save those subjects quite safely for a month's time. But for now, Wendy Claxton, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Tony.